Your Bibles and turn with me to James chapter 4. And please stand as you turn to James chapter 4. We're going to read verses 13 through 15. The Bible says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." Let us pray. Dear Lord, I ask you tonight that you be with me as I go to bring this message, Lord, and give my testimony. I ask that you just bless this church, Lord. I ask that you send workers here, Lord, more and more. Lord, I ask that as Camp Humphreys builds, this church begins to build also. Lord, I pray that you speak through me tonight, and I ask you to let every person open their hearts and minds to the message, Lord. I ask you to speak through me as I go to bring your word, Lord. And Lord, I'm just so grateful for tonight, Lord. Just please bless everything that comes out of my mouth, Lord, and I praise your name in all. In your holy name, amen. Please be seated. I'm going to go ahead and start with a little bit of testimony before I get into the message I prepared. And you know, it's ironic that Sue and Grace sang that or did the song because that was actually performed at my mom's funeral. And today, Brittany and I decided to wear purple like we did for my mom's funeral. So it's funny how God's perfect plan works out. To start my testimony, I was saved when I was 7 years old. In a Baptist church much like this. And I was baptized shortly after. And I grew in the Lord. And as I got older, there was times where I backslid and came back to God. And backslid and came back to God. No one's perfect. But I knew that God wanted me to serve him, no matter what I did. God sent me here for a reason. He led me to the military for a reason, and he put certain people in my life for a reason. Serving in this church has been a tremendous blessing for Brittany and I and our children. They were both saved here also. Bree was saved on April Fool's Day, and then Kaylee was saved about a year and a week later. They were both baptized by Pastor Roscoe, and as you know, me and Brittany served in the church. I was a sound booth coordinator for quite some time, and I was a treasurer for some time. We've gone soul winning countless times, and Pastor's actually been gracious enough to give me this pulpit a few times while he was away. There's nothing that can compare to the joy we have gotten as a family in serving the Lord. We have learned how to prioritize a lot of things in our life, and we have truly learned how to guide our home through applying biblical principles. And I really thank Pastor and Sue for their example they've set for me and Brittany to look at being here in Korea. And we all know, personally, to me, Korea wasn't the most easiest duty station. It wasn't the most ideal duty station for me either. I remember trying to get out of my tour here, and I wanted to, at that time, deploy with my unit and go to Afghanistan. I don't know why I wanted to do that. It was a horrible decision I was making. But I wanted to, you know, stay in the Army at the time. I wanted to make a 20-year career out of it. And I thought, hey, you know, I want to go to Afghanistan. I want to go keep getting promoted. I want to do this and that. So I was trying everything I could to get out of going to Korea. I mean, if there was a paper I could get signed, I was getting it signed. And for some reason, God sent me here. Praise God. I mean, it's God's plan. I'm here tonight. It's God's plan. I brought my family with me, too. I remember, like, if I'm going, Brittany, I'm bringing you with me. I don't care what, I don't care if you have, I don't care if we have to pay out of pocket, you're going. And she reluctantly kind of came and had to put up her flip-flops for a little while and actually put on shoes. Any of you who know Brittany knows she loves to wear flip-flops. So during the winter though, she actually put on shoes a few times. I was surprised. She was always getting after, but it was a shock for us. We were in Hawaii, first duty station. I went to Kuwait and Iraq for 15 months, and then we went back to Fort Hood, so we didn't know really what cold weather was till we got to Korea. I didn't wear a jacket for about 10 years. But this has been a great time here at Lighthouse, and we have seen so many blessings happen to other people. I remember when we worked the missions conference, and Devin Loya was led to be called to preach. And we've been speaking a lot about Devin lately, and you know, he was such a good young man here. I remember him. I remember the Loya family. I remember the Smiths. They were great workers in this church. They served in every aspect. Also, the Yalries also. We've got to know everybody quite a bit, but those people I think we got to know the best. And the McBrides, I can remember letting the kids hang out with the McBrides at Osan all day one day when we were supposed to be going to Everland, but it rained. And when I mean all day, we were there all day. From 11 to like 7, we ate lunch and dinner there. And the kids just played, because we were planning on going to Everland, but we got rained out. But I do want to thank everybody here for all the kind and heartfelt prayers, and everything you've done for me and my family has been wonderful. I remember Pastor bringing us to the DMV to get our car registered, and little things like that, they meant a great deal to me, and it really showed me the compassion that Pastor Nsu has for this ministry, not just for the individuals, but for the ministry as a whole. And it's definitely been a blessing. But I don't want to keep everybody here too late tonight, so I'm going to go ahead and get into the message. As we look at James chapter 4, verse 14, it says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away." Looking back on our tour here, it went by really fast. I thought at times that it drug on, and I thought at times it was slow, especially times when I was working late hours. You know, in the military, sometimes you feel like time's dragging. But I look back and feel like we just got here. And, you know, we're only here in Korea for a vapor. We come and we go. Pastor has testified to this plenty of times. It seems like once you get somebody integrated into the church and they get good and comfortable here, the Army, the Air Force, a contract picks up, and they have to leave. But as a leader of my home, I really wanted to find a Bible-believing church when I got to Korea. I wouldn't go so far as to say that, you know, we never found a good church as a married couple. We had. But our viewpoint of the church and what we wanted for our family and the churches we were going to around the Fort Hood area was drastically different. We would be involved in a church for a little while, we'd be trying to be involved, and then something would happen, anything, and we weren't, I don't know if it was mature enough or what, but we just didn't have the, I guess you'd say the guts to be like, no, you know, we don't need to do that. No, you shouldn't say that, whoever it was. But being here in Lighthouse, if you apply the biblical principles you learn, you will have the intestinal fortitude to stand up for what you believe in. And I do thank God for that, and I thank Pastor Roscoe for actually giving his heart to God when he preaches a message. And I know there's been countless times where, you know, we had to go handle business, and he's working on a message for Wednesday night. I mean, he puts a lot of time and effort in all he does, and Sue's right there with him. So I really appreciate all their hard work. I've learned a great deal. But I do believe that it was God's perfect plan to send us here to Lighthouse. We looked over the church, and it pretty much lined up with everything we believed in as a family biblically. And we came here. We met the Smiths out in the hallway, and they started taking us around and showing us the church. And, you know, we didn't go to another church. We said when we got here we were going to visit and see where God wanted us. But when we got here, we knew this is where God had led us. And I do recall quite a few, I don't say quite a few, a few hard times we have had here. But through those hard times, we have had to wholeheartedly rely on God for everything. Financially, you know, God has always provided for us. You know, that really wasn't a concern, but I learned here that in your short time in Korea and on earth, you must give all your problems, cares, concerns, and praises to God. Amen. One thing I learned was if you really give something to God, it's going to be taken care of. Amen. You know, I would always, you know, I'm a very independent person. I was raised up, I was the youngest of five, and Brittany's a very independent person also. And so I think at certain times, it was always hard for us to wholeheartedly just say, God, take this burden from us. There was always a, yeah, we're going to pray for it, but we can do this to make this happen. I stopped doing that when I got to Korea. I'm getting out of the army, and I know that God already has a job for me. I know that he already has all my issues worked out. You know, I've already, you know, through giving it to God in prayer, I've already had 3 calls back to jobs I didn't even apply for. So if we wholeheartedly give God our problems, I without a doubt believe that it will happen. But I did learn that the praises you give God in the good times and the bad make all the difference. Because there's times here, my mother passed away, I've been in trouble, and I gave my whole heart to God and said, God, I cannot do this without you. I need you. And I stopped using myself to work things out. And lo and behold, here I am today. God worked everything out. But I realized that I could have done more at Lighthouse. I'll be honest. I feel like no matter what it was, and I think that's true to every Christian and every person, is that I always wish I would have been to one more service I didn't get to go to, or went to soul winning that one time I couldn't go. So, you know, I really realized how valuable my time was to me, how valuable my time was to our family and the children. That time with God you spend alone with your children, even for those of you who don't have children yet, it works miracles. That time they spend with God, with you, and you teaching them God's word, it's a miracle. You just see God working through my children. It's amazing. But your time is also valuable to God. And wow, you know, God counts everything you do. And he knows what you do and what you don't do. He knows the chances you had to invite somebody and chances you didn't do it. And, you know, you're accountable for your time when you stand before God. So while you're here, use it wisely. Amen. Be at church when the doors are open. Amen. If it's for a fellowship, be there. If it's to clean the church, no matter how tired you are, be there. God counts it, and it will bless you tremendously. The next point I have is on managing your, it's on managing your time. If you would turn with me to Psalms 90, verse 12. The Bible says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." What are we doing with the time God has given to us? And this verse is a prayer of Moses. Moses tells us to apply our hearts unto wisdom. When we manage our time and our lives, we need to take a look at how much time we spend with God and doing God's work. Our days are definitely numbered here. And I apologize to the translator, but I'm going to get off track 1 second on this. Yeah, my mother passed away in May, and my mother was sick for, we found out she had Alzheimer's when we got here, and it was probably like December after we arrived here. It was not a shock that she passed away when she did, but it was definitely a shock how fast she declined. And wow, it was hard when she passed away for me. I was in the field when I found out she was about to pass away. And I was driving back when, I was actually driving to Incheon when they announced her deceased. But my family always looked at my parents in the wrong way. And I feel like I did everything I could from a certain point to honor my mother and father. And I don't have any regrets about joining the army and not being there. I don't have any regrets because I did everything I could. But we never expected my mother to pass before my father. My dad had heart disease when he was like 50, and we always assumed, as humans, that he was going to pass before my mother, and that's what we always planned for. How are we going to take care of mom if something happened to dad? We never once planned on her passing away before him. And it was hard to accept that. It was hard for my father. And it was hard to accept when she had Alzheimer's, her not knowing who she was talking to. But that was God's plan. And through that time in the field, when my mother was terminally ill, and I would be getting phone calls from the States at work, and you know, God, say what you want, but I brought my Bible there instead of a laptop or something to occupy my time. And I would read my Bible and pray for God to ease my mother and ease the suffering. Whether that meant she passed away or not, that's what I was praying for, her to be comfortable. And I would even pray out loud sometimes. And through that, I didn't get to lead anybody to the Lord, but I got to plant a lot of seeds for God. I had a lot of people ask me about God, ask me what I was reading, ask me to explain to them what I was reading. I would give them the gospel. And nobody turned their heart to God. I can't tell them to do that. But through that, I realized that your time on earth is short. And whether that means you're witnessing to somebody at work, whether you're helping somebody fix a flat tire, or whether you're inviting somebody over for lunch, you should give everything you have to God. And that taught me a great deal. But as we apply our hearts to wisdom, I'm going to get back on track, Brother Lee. But as we apply our hearts to the wisdom, like it says in the passage, we need to read our Bible daily to gain the biblical wisdom. The Bible lets us know what to do and how to do it from a godly perspective, not a worldly perspective, because we all know how to do it from the flesh. But knowing how to do it God's way and how to run your home and your family and your ministry God's way is really what pays off. It allows us to make sound decisions without dreading the outcome. It took a lot of prayer for me to get out of the military. I'm not going to lie. There is plenty of times that I really questioned my decision. The economy's not great. It's not horrible, but it's not great. And a lot of people would ask me, why do you want to get out? Why? You can go make rank. You could go do this. You could go do that. Why would you get out? And I said, God wants me to get out, so I'm getting out. I prayed about it, and I know that's what God wants me to do. But I don't think that I would have had such a great peace about my decision if it hadn't been with prayer. Because me and Brittany prayed every night. We do every night still. God, watch over and guide our steps. Watch over and make sure we're doing the right thing. Have that job for me. If it's not the right job, if it's going to keep me out away from my family for a month at a time, don't do it. Stop that. If that's what you want from me, make it happen. So, you know, I feel like the outcome we can make that we have is basically reflected upon what we give to God. And I feel that time that we don't give to God, we're going to regret. Because I do regret certain times that I wasn't living for God. But me and Brittany ran across a writing. I don't know who the author was, but it goes like this. Imagine there's a bank account that credits your account each morning with $86,400. It carries over no balance from day to day. Every evening, the bank deletes whatever part of the balance you failed to use during the day. What would you do? Draw every cent? Each of us has such a bank. Its name is time. Every morning it credits us with 86,400 seconds. Every night it writes off as lost. Whatever of this you have failed to invest to a good purpose, it carries over no balance and allows no overdraft. Each day it opens a new account for you. Each night it burns the remains of the day. If you fail to use the day's deposit, the loss is yours. There's no drawing against tomorrow. You must live in the present and today's deposits. What are you doing with your time? You know, we read that before and we really thought, and we were really convicted, Brittany and I, what are we doing with our time? Are we sitting here watching TV when we could be reading our Bibles? Are we hurrying through life so fast we're not stopping to spend time with our kids? But I believe that God sent you here for a reason, to Korea. I believe God sent me here for a reason. And I really think that everybody, every day I feel like I need to evaluate my time and how I'm spending it. Amen. And every day I'm not perfect. I don't always spend it right. Nobody does. But I do believe that we need to, you know, look at what we're doing for the ministry. Look at what we're doing at work. Are we setting a godly example for the people around us or not? But if you would turn with me to Ephesians 5, and we're going to read verses 15 through 17. The Bible says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." As Christians, we need to be wise and not as fools. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So we need to be wise on our decisions, wise with our time. We need to redeem the time we have and use it to discover God's will in our life. I'm still constantly seeking what God wants me to do. And I'm not sure if I'll ever know until I arrive to heaven and he tells me, this is what I had you do. That was your purpose. It also helps us stay away from evil when you're seeking God's will. It'll help you eliminate evil thoughts and actions. It'll help keep you on the right path. As Pastor mentioned this morning, narrow is the path to righteousness, but broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. It's easy to get the world clouded, let the world cloud our thoughts and our actions. It's very easy. The word circumspect is defined as thinking carefully about possible risk before saying or doing something by Webster's Dictionary. If you're actively thinking and prioritizing your time in a godly manner, then you will have less of a risk to sin. If you're looking at what God has for you in the Holy Word of God, you mitigate that risk and you see that instead of 100% chance to sin, because him that knoweth to doeth good and doeth not timid of sin, your chances of living a godly life are much higher when you're in the Word of God, when you're doing devotionals, when you're reading your Word, when you're praying, when you're at church. And if you don't believe me, I can give you about 20 different examples of how I've done wrong. So it definitely helps to be in God's Word. God should be the priority in every Christian's life. Many times we go to church day to day, we go throughout things, and we find that, I know at one point in my life, I thought that if I did not place the army first, I was not going to succeed. And I really realized with that if you put anything on a pedestal over God, you're going to fall short somewhere else. You might be doing great in your career. You might be doing great at home. You might have a lot of money. But if you're not doing what God has for you, it's all going to go downhill. Something is going to go downhill, if not everything. It also makes our spiritual life much easier when we're just constantly thinking and doing the things of God. Nurturing your relationship with God will feed relationships in your life. It will feed you and your wife's relationship, you and your husband's relationship, you and your mom and dad's relationship, friends, coworkers. It helps build bonds that you don't get with everybody. I know I bonded with a lot of people here at Lighthouse. I know I bonded with a lot of people at work over the Bible, over God, talking to people about God. And just rejoicing in the blessings sometimes with other people. And like I said before, practicing biblical principles and teaching your children about the Word of God, allowing your young children to read the Word of God aloud, really does make an impact on your family. It's truly been a blessing for me and my family to be here. It's truly been a blessing to learn how to put God first in everything we do. And here I've received one of the biggest gifts I could have ever received, and that's learning how to run my home as a man, and that's learning how to apply biblical principles to actually lead my home, and by giving God my time, being blessed. And I do thank Pastor and Ms. Sue. I thank everybody here tonight. I thank everybody that had to listen to me sing on a Wednesday night for putting up with it. I do thank everybody for everything. And yeah, there's no words to describe how grateful I am to get to be here, even though I am ready to go home. I'm ready to start a new chapter in my life, and I'm ready to finally be able to put down some roots. So with that said, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Pastor. Thank you for your time.
Let's quietly stand to our feet and with heads bowed and eyes closed, and let's reflect.